let me know.
Okay.
Okay, UFAR, just very quickly. So just to sum up the role of UFAR, again, it really starts with the Nusach of Bittul that was found, you know, pretty early. That's something to look at, but we're not going to look at that right now. When we discuss the, you know, the bracha, the Nusach bracha, and everything else, then we will go back and add a few ha'aros to, you know, these are all interconnected, so we'll be able to do that. But of course, that's where it comes from. In terms of the accentuation, just to sum up, as we noted, the Rambam in particular, you know, highlights the role of afar several times in his triple formulation. It's not a triple afar, but it's a double afar, but in the context of a triple or quadruple formulation. My opinion is that that had a dual effect on the Ramban in terms of the idea of, you know, negating Torah's chametz and perceiving it as an afar, more of an intellectual, again, renunciation, which I think is really what the Rambam had in mind. But the Ramban clearly, with his inarotza b'kiyumo and everything that goes along with it, I think took it that way, and that had its own life. Whereas, you know, the Meiri, again through the Ramban, turned afar into a kind of hefker, you know, a kind of a quality, different quality of hefker. But the Chachmei Provence, as we discussed, really understood afar, you know, kind of more literally. Not totally literally. No one thinks that you can turn chametz actually into afar. But the ability, you know, even to be able to ask certain extreme questions like, oh, if it's afar, can you eat it? Oh, if it's afar, can you be nene from it? In other words, to go beyond Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatze, because of the depiction of afar, that's really what I was trying to say, is rather remarkable. It reflects a certain weight and gravity. In other words, if it's a melitza bialma, you know, and it's just another way of saying einarotza b'kiyumo, certainly if it's just another way of saying a certain kind of hefker, then bepashtus, that shouldn't have, you know, any effect on achila, even isur hana, likely. If you think that the use of afar highlights, you know, the role of, you know, the attitudinal, you know, factor, and therefore the perception matters, then, you know, you're going to say, you're going to at least ask these questions, and then we need to pay very close attention to the way in which you resolve the questions. Because one would have thought that the question once asked would simply be dismissed. It's like, what does the Bal Yirah, you know, consequence of afar have to do with achila? Maybe, what does it have to do with Isra'na either? After all, you know, one is a question of, you know, the connection between the chametz and you, because that's what Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh on some level is about. The fact that it's bibaluscha, the fact that it's birshuscha. Again, how, you know, does it have to be established that way, or is it default that way until you eradicate it? These are some issues that we've already seen, and these are issues that we will return to. In other words, if you're not the bialim, it's okay, or you need to be, you know, it needs to be in a state of bialus, which is mufka from chametz, like gavola or nokri, things of that sort. But at the end of the day, the idea of that, on some level, right, Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, has to do with your legal or emotional, you know, connection to the chametz, is very compelling. You know, maybe it's even mukhrach. So then to say things like, well, you're mevata, not only if it's, you know, legally out of your rishus, even if, you know, you have renounced it, you know, that too is a relationship, you know, kind of, that's one thing. But to say that spills over in the most extreme, especially to achila, where here we're dealing with seemingly macholas asuros, and a particularly acute macholas asuros. So, you know, you can make all the speeches you want about chazer, nosar, and pigol. You know, no one thinks you can eat it. And they don't think, probably, that the reason that you can't eat it is because of Akshavei. It's just that, like, what does it have to do? It's an objective davar hamatamte misalev, just to say it that way. Chefza shalisar, maisa veira. You don't get to, you know, intellectualize that out of existence. It's just a very strange phenomenon. So then, if there really is a view, it seems like there's a view that they're quoting, and there's also a view that says it's wrong, but it's not so wrong. It's only wrong because of Akshavei. So what is that based on? So this is, I'm just summing up for the moment. This is what we were saying the other day, which is that what it shows is that even the Achila part, maybe, is somewhat attitudinal and intellectual. How could that be? So I think there are two components. One is the fact that it is an Iser Zman, and that it's not the Tamte Misalev, is something which militates against seeing as a purely objective Chefza Shaliser, or Maisa Vera, or Maisa Achilas HaIser. That's number one. And number two, closely related to it, they're overlapping ideas, is that instead of seeing Valyorbay Matze as a Siag L'Achila, or instead of seeing the Din of Achila spilling over, you know, also into, you can't even have this in your Rishus, you can't even have, you know, it present or having any kind of monetary, you know, relationship to you. It's fundamentally an Isra Achila, you know, maybe because of its toxicity and the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim and everything. But, you know, either as a siag or even as just a common denominator, an expression about how chomor this Isra Achila really is, you know, for the same reason it's usur, even though all year it's mutter, it's also usur to have a Yerusha. That's normally the way we look at it. That's normally the way that it is. You know, not revising it. But what we see from the Gemara and Chavtesa ben Aleph is that there at least can be a view, you know, at least in some narrow contexts, and the question is, how narrow? Either way, we don't pask in this way, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and that is where the relationship goes in the opposite direction. It's not, you know, Bal Yirah as a siag or as a spillover from Achila, but it's the opposite. The real din is you can't have a relationship with this Chefza, and that's why you can't have it even in your Rishus. Right? Of course, if you can't have a relationship with the Chefza, you certainly can't be eating it. That's a very intimate, you know, relationship. So in a way, Achila, which is Kares, is like the most intense, like, expression of Bal Yirah, right? And that's what the Gemara says on Chavtes, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, namely, that it's Iskash Achila le, you know, Rishus, rather than vice versa. Now again, if you take the view there that this is quite expansive and that it applies even to Achila, even Tocha Pesach, then that's the most radical. Right? We're not saying Akshavei or anything like that either. What we're saying is, you know, Chametz is an Asur, you know, or at least Chametz shall Goyed, Chametz shall Hefker, which is chemically Chametz, isn't Asur. What's Asur is Chametz, right, that you're supposed to get rid of. You know, and you know, that it's the relationship to chametz that's asur. And then, in that kind of chametz, if you eat it, it's kares. You know, and isra hana, and so on, and so on. But that's where it flows from. But if it's chametz, shell, akum, the shell, hefker, it's the same chametz, chemically. But it's not chefza shel chametz, shel isra. L'ma davar doma, just like there was a hava mina that we talked about already in the Sugya Daf Mem Gimel, that maybe Isha would be muteres, right, lechol chametz pesach. Why? Because if indeed there's a connection between chametz and matzah, something we'll speak about another few minutes in our Sugya Neyam and Aleph too. We've already seen some other expressions of it. And if you say women are pturos mitzvah seishas man grama, right? And if you say that there's a kesher, you know, kol sheyeshno b'achol matzo yeshno v'iser chametz, so then you get this conclusion. Again, it was only a you know, a very, you know, quick kavamin on the Gemara. But it sounds like you needed Xeris HaKasuv to teach you that it's not so. So how could it be? Well, women are allowed to eat Nosar and Pigal and Tameh and Chazir. It's a lav. It's an Isur Kares. It doesn't make any sense. But on second glance, it makes a lot of sense. Because if Chametz is Mutter Kol HaShana, it's not really objectively Isur. It's just that this is the week of Matzah. And in some respect, Chametz is the anti-Matzah. Maybe that's partly the Mechaber. That, again, this is a separate point, but it's a parallel point. It's a point which we have to continue to, you know, build up, obviously. Again, the Torah says, you know, Shivas Yamim Tochal Matzos, and it isn't completely, you know, or it isn't obviously accurate. It either means that there's a Kiyum, or it means that there's an Isur Chametz. And that's how Rashi reads it. So apparently Matzah, you know, is a way of highlighting Chametz, and Chametz is a way of negating Matzah. Again, I don't want to go into all those Gemaras now. We'll talk a little more about them, you know, when we read the top of Hebrew Aleph and other things. But the idea is, so what, if the man eats Chametz, he's Chayv Kares, but the women in the house are allowed to, you know, have sandwiches all over, you know, you can sit at the Seder table, and, you know, and somebody's eating Chametz and the next person's eating Matzah. Right? So the answer is, again, we're seeing Chametz as being a something that is Noveya, that derives from, you know, what Yerchiv, you know, and the rest of the context. So Hu Adin, we might say, about Akum, Gavoa, the real din is Lo Yirah, don't have anything to do with it, legally. So therefore, Lu Yitzuyar, there was an Akshave, and maybe for one Shita there isn't an Akshave, you know, this is a different kind of Chametz, this isn't Chametz you have to get rid of. So that's a very remarkable idea, but it is one which highlights. Now again, according to the other Rishonim, some of them say that's not the Pshat Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, because either you have the equivalent of Akshave, maybe when you eat something, so you become the Bailin. That's kind of what Tosas is saying. Many of the other Rishonim on Choftes and Aleph. But that's, you know, like saying Akshave, meaning Lamaisa, you don't have the Seicha Timtzi. If you did, it might work, but you don't. And then the other Rishonim get creative, and they say, well, you know, maybe we can find situations where you're not the Bailin. And, you know, Tochavlo, Tochgrono, again, those like Elenairos, you know, type issues. There are others who say, like that Ravid, that no, the whole Havamina was about, it's within Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So we're talking about La'achar Zman Isuro. In La'achar Zman Isuro, then maybe you could say that the Achila is contingent upon the Shehiyah. Or the Isser, you know, that it should be in your shows, by Rabbi Matzah. But you never say that about Toch Pesach. Again, he says it by characterizing it as the difference between Kares and Alav, even for Rabbi Yehuda. That's why David Bonfil says, so you're going to say at least about Lifnei Zmano for Rabbi Yehuda? Hu Adin La'achar Zmano? So that seems very dochak, very difficult. Of course, that's a little window into something we've seen and need to see more, including our next topic, and that is, what is the relationship in everything between, you know, Lifnei, Toch, and La'achar Zmano, parallel to our discussions about Tarobas and Nuksha, etc. Meaning, of course, everybody, we know the difference between them regarding Karas. That's a quantitative difference, right, or a qualitative difference. It's a different Chepsa Shel Chametz, right, and a different Mechayev, or not? And here Gufa, the idea of being Mechalik between, you know, Lifnei Zmano and La'achar Zmano, even within Rabbi Yehuda, you know, is something to think of. Just like the Rambam distinguishes them in the Psak, maybe, even for Rabbi Yehuda, they're different, for the reasons that we discussed, namely, that Rabbi Yehuda himself may understand that Lifnei Zmano, there's still Korban Pesach, There's achile. So to say that there's an Isra achilas comments is one thing. But la'achar Pesach, it sounds like more knas d'oraisa or remnant of shame, but without all of the kind of implications. So then you might say that, you know, in a way, the lifnei zmano belongs to the kares, and the la'achar zmano, you know, does not. And just like the Rambam can flip Rabbi Yehuda, you know, or not flip, can distinguish Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in this issue, even within Rabbi Yehuda, we have this discussion. By the same token, even if you hold like the Chachamim, this is relevant to our next Shakla Vitaria, right? If you assume that there is an Isra Achila, and maybe there's no Lav, but again, how much of that discrepancy is a technical one, so there's no Malkus, but it's still the same Isra Achila? Or not? Or that's goof of the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Even if they both agree there's Isra Achila, right? Maybe they think that the Mechayim is different. And this affects Malkus. Maybe it affects other things too. Does it affect Isra? No, we're going to find out in the next couple of days. Right? Is there Isra Noah for Rabbi Yehuda Kodem Zmano? That's a question. Even if there is there an Isra Noah for Rabbi Shimon Kodem Zmano? Even if there is it the same Isra Hana? Is it like a Rabbavo or a Chizkiah? What's going to be the sets? I'll elaborate this in another second regarding Ramchal. I'm just trying to pose questions and, you know, the answer to which we have in some shitos, but need to be built up even more. Or, like I mentioned the other day, Minchas Chinuch type questions. Like, you know, you're Masra somebody using, let's say for Rabbi Yehuda, you're Masra on Isra Achila, Kodem Zmano for Toksmano, or Toksmano for Kodem Zmano. Same kind of questions that Minchas Chinuch raises about Tarovas comments. Okay? But the underlying issue, again, same Heftza, different, you know, Chomer. There's a couple of differences in details, but one Chafetz Shulchan, like Matan's Raya the other day, right, from the Rambam and the Smaim, again, the Rambam is very consistent. Or no, the difference in Kares and so on highlights, or maybe the difference between a Lav as opposed to Stam and Iser, you know, that we're dealing with different Mechayvim. So you can't use the same Pasuk, even the Chumra. That's, you're not going to get Kares, maybe you'll get the Lav. Or what about Tziruf L'Shiur? Right, you ate a half a kezias of Rabbi Yehuda's Lifnei Zmano, B'Tokh De Dibor, of, you know, you have to get your timing right, you know, of Chatzi Zayas of Karis. Right? What's the halacha there? What's halacha for Rabbi Yehuda? What's halacha for Rabbi Shimon? These are all ways of testing the Yisra Hanoah question, etc. So, with regard to the question of, you know, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, you know, what about Rabbi Yehuda la'achar? What about Rabbi Yehuda lifnei? And what about the Chachamim or Rav Shimon lifnei, if it's Doraisa, but there's no Malkus? So these are big questions. Some Rishonim make the suggestion, you know, either because of the Achshavei or for this more fundamental reason, to distinguish between Isra Hana and Achila. So you know what? When it comes to Achila, of course, it doesn't matter who owned Nakavoa, Nakri, totally irrelevant. That doesn't depend on the criteria of Bal Yirah. That depends on the objective fact that it's Chametz, it's an Isra Macholos Asuror, or Chefta Shel Isur, end of story. When it comes to Isur Yana, right, maybe that depends on the criteria of Bal Yirah. Maybe that's more attitudinal. That's more connected in that way. That's what some Rishonim say. Again, depends how you understand the Isra Noah's relationship to Isra Achila. On an Achshavei level, you know, certainly you could be Mechalik. Although, again, it's an open question. Again, we'll see in a minute. That's kind of where the Maram Chalava comes into it as well. Right, the Maram Chalava basically says that Achshavei is the reason why the radical view in the Michtam doesn't work. But Isuri Anah, because it's Afar, that would work. So in a way it's parallel to views of the Rishonim on Chavtas and Aleph about Gavoa and Nachri for Rav Acha bar Yaakov. I don't think it's so poshut. Depends, again, I think on Chizki, on Rav Avohu, on these issues. But Maram Chalaba, when he says it, compares it to Baal Yirah. I already mentioned that echoes the Rambam and Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. But, you know, that's what he says. Teidalachot. He says, the Yisra, no, that depends on the criterion of Baal Yirah Bayi Matzeh. And if there's no Baal Yirah Bayi Matzeh, because you were Mevatel Ka'afar, then there's no Yisra Hana either. But again, I'm not sure. It's very possible that Yisra Hana belongs more with Achila, right? Especially, again, depending on Chezkin or Bavo, and Chetza Shel Chamet, Lo Yeyachel, everything that we have already talked about. There's actually also a very interesting, let's say, irony, you know, in all of this. And that is that Yisra Hana, especially as Lo Yachel, as we developed in the beginning of the year, according to the Rambam, you know, highlights that it's not only an Yisra Gavra to eat chametz, but, you know, it's also an Yisra to be responsible for the effect of the chametz being eaten. That's what we discussed at the beginning of the year about Chatzis Shir, and, you know, Behemas Hefker, and Yisra Yana. So how does that fit in to this question of how objective is the Yisr? In which case, Gavoa, Akum, Choftes and Aleph, Bittul, Afar, Ar Sugya, have no effect. Or is the fact that we are expanding, right, to you being responsible, not, you know, not only for your own actions, not only for Maisa Beira, but kind of not to be mitzurav to the chefts of Achilas Chametz, maybe that really is kind of an expression that parallels Baal Yirah Bayi Matzeh. Now, so on the one hand, the focus on the chefts of being the driving force, you would think objectifies this din even more. And the more objective it is, the less your who owns it, or how, you know, what your attitude is towards it, min gavoa akum, afar, bittul, it shouldn't matter. Because we're dealing with something which is, you know, not only, you know, an Isra achilas agavra, but a cheftza which is so toxic that you shouldn't even be connected to its consumption. On the other hand, the very expansion, as I say, itself, like why this cheftza, well, because it's a more objectively toxic, metamteim, eshalev-esque kind of a cheftza, you know, then it's worse, then it's less, you know, flexible. But the other way to look at it is, objectively, Torah only imposes, you know, isurei achila, maisa achila, you know, and so on. Where they're going to expand, it's because the objective action isn't really usur either, right? I mean, it could be too deep. It's because the connection that you have to what, to the effect that you are responsible for, is a statement, it's an attitude. In which case, the Yisra Hana component becomes more flexible. It's a chumrah, Shemeviya Lede Kula, not just because you've kind of stretched and therefore saying the Chabal HaKiddush. I don't mean that. What I mean, or maybe you could say it that way, but I'm explaining what that might be about, I guess. It's really about, no, you've entered into the more attitudinal realm, which means that all things being equal, you've expanded, but maybe you still need the conditions, whether it's, you know, not perceiving it as afar, or, you know, ownership issues, etc., as part of that process. So that's kind of where we were. And then I think the more moderate expressions of that are, you know, by the way, just in addition to the things I mentioned about Minchas Chinuch and so on, also the question of Mashahu, the question of Chatzis Shir, you know, for Toch, for Achar, for Rabbi Yehuda, and for Rab Shimon. We're going to see some of these. But again and again, these are the main issues. Rab Chalava, this last thing I think I was speaking about, is particularly fascinating because he draws a contrast to the issue being bittul and afar, the classic, you call it Provençal perspective, and his, you know, redemption of Bale Tosis, which is Hefker. So what's fascinating about that is that even when he's working with Hefker, right, he is still kind of in one respect, he's still guided, let's say, by the mentality of the Chachmei Provence, which is that there should be a connection between the conditions of Lo Yiraya, right, and if not of Achila, because that's Achshavei, of Isur Ana. Again, you know, if the only reason the Chachmei Provence radical view is wrong is because of Achshavei, that's already telling. If Isur Ana, it actually does work, it could be Nanan from the Afar, you know, Lahalacha, you know, if you're taking this position, that's a bold statement. But then you would have thought that if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, so then there's no connection whatsoever. In other words, you know, you can't be Nana from something that you were mafkir, not because that undoes the Hefker, but because Hefker is an issue of Bali Ra'a, and Nana is an issue of Achila Sachepza, or an extension of Mais Achila. In which case, the way to explain what the Maram Chalava is trying to explain, which is, he's saying, if you held like my colleagues, right, then you could be Nana after Bittel. And that would not negate the Bittel. Right? You'd still be Potter Mibali Rabbi Yimatze, etc. And would you violate Isur Ana? No. However, you know, once you adopt the Hefker perspective, says the Maram Chalava, then the reason that you can't be Nanet, this is his Nafkamina, is not because Bal Yirah Lechud and Isur Ana slash Achila Lechud, that one depends on Bailus and connection, and the other one depends on, you know, the objective status of the Chepetza, irrespective of what you think about it, and so on. That's what I would have said. That's why I found it surprising and fascinating when what he does say is, 1 second, Aval I arina midin hefker lo kasha, shekol shefkiro, afagav dechametz gamor, right, lo avar delav didehu, aval komasha nanebo, hare chazar bezachabo, kimo shehifkir v'hareyu shalom. He doesn't say, if you're working with Hefker, so then Bal Yirah is purely a matter of Bailus and Rishus, and Achila and Ana are matters of the objective Chefetza. Because we're not talking about changing the Chefetza in any way anymore. That's not what he says. What he says is, if you're dealing with Hefker, so then the Isur Ana is going to be an Achshavei, or the equivalent of an Achshavei. Meaning, the second that you're Nana Mimenu, you're Zochem and a Hefker. So you undo the Hefker. Why do you need that? Let's say you're not Zochem and a Hefker. So you have Chefetza Shel Chametz Shel Hefker. You're allowed to be Nana from a Chefetza Shel Chametz Shel Hefker? Are you allowed to be Nana from Gavoa and from Nachri? Lahalacha? It's shocking a little bit in Ram Chalam. But I think that it's a spillover of that mentality. There's something else to say about the Maram Chalava, and that is just to analyze whether it's true or not. Is it so obvious? Yoni, what do you think? Goldberg. Is it so obvious that if you're Mafkir, and then you're Nanim Yemenu, that you're Zocha? Right, and even if you do have das, is that a kinyan? Let me say it this way. Let's say a third party, or, you know, somebody else was nene from the chefetz shel hefker. A mafker chefetz, same exact scenario. Instead of me being nene, let's say my neighbor is nene. Is he konem in a hefker? Forget about Bayura for the moment. In general, kol tarikul. In Bayura might be the issue, might be if it's already lachar zman. Isuro, okay, fine. That might be different. You might not have that hechatimtzi so easily. Well, let's say just generally. I mean, the language of the Maram Chalava is, right? Komashenene, harei chazar v'zacha, kamoshe hifgir, v'harehu shalom. Yoni, true? A regular person can be zochem in a hefker by being nenem in a chefetz without a kinyan? And without das? Pashtus, no. So what is Maram Chalava telling us? So this is also important for the other point that we were discussing. And I think here, again, it may be Lishitasa. This is something that is unique to the mafkir, the Bible. As we discussed, depending on how you understand hefker, right, and how concerned you are about being zoche, you know, mishalcha, or being chozer min a hefker, like you could have said, that, you know, if you're mafkir sincerely, you know, then you become a third party, or second party. I mean, you're no longer the mafkir. Right? Or maybe it depends on how you do the hefker or how you understand hefker. The more you think that a proper hefker makes you no different than anyone else, right, the more difficult it is to say what the Maram Chalava said. Now, there is some evidence, you know, that with regard to certain dinim at least, we do treat the mafker differently. I mentioned the Gemara, you know, in Bava Kama, Darim, Tzadihei, in Bava Kama, you know, that a person's mashkim baboker, you know, and he reclaims his object, so he's still potter na maiser, but he's chayv pay, which obviously highlights a distinction in the patur of hefker and maiser as opposed to pay. Right? But what it highlights also is that legabe Peah, at least, you can be chozer in a hefker more so in Meiser. Now, is that because Meiser, hefker is a din in the chefza, it's in a nishmar, you know, whereas, you know, maybe in Peah it's a din in actual bailus, could be, or one depends on siluk and the other depends on hakna'a. It's hard to know. But clearly, that gemara is very important for the distinction between Peah and Meiser. And it has implications for hefker. But for our purposes now, what it shows is that being mashkin, you know, baboker, in some ways you can undo vis-a-vis the mafkir hefker. In some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. But what I would say is, Josh, that Maram Chalava, you want to finish the sentence? And why are they different? The Maram Chalava is a particularly important formulation in Hefker in general, as we discussed, exactly what Josh is saying. And that is because he emphasizes the rules are different here, not because, per se, the Hefker we require is less, not like the Rebbe, and not like the Miri, you know, who has like different cutoff points in the Hefker. But because, typically, we always have to worry about your chazara, and, you know, the other person's kinyan, but especially your chazara. And here, we don't typically have to worry about that because of the iser factor. So if Maram Chalava, in general, is fixated too strong a word, let's say, is focused on the problem of being chozer, or being rezochem in a hefker, maybe that also explains why he thinks that Dafka the Mafkir, when he would pick up, when he would be nana, you know, from the Isra Hana, that would be a kvar, a chozer, you know, bezokhaba. Whereas, you know, that wouldn't be the case for some stranger. Okay. So either way, I think there are several interesting implications for this Maram Chalava, you know, both about Hefker generally, as well as about kind of the spillover of Chachmei Provence, even when you reject them, regarding the question of Balyar Abayi Matzeh's relationship to at least Isra Hanah, not Achila. Again, Achila is mostly inoculated by Purim. Yeah.
Would that
mean
that the Maram Chalava fit in Hefker in general, that the Mafkir who wants to get Hanah from it, would then reopen it? Or specifically, did it come because it changes the parameters of a Hefker from it?
That's a great question. Yoni's asking, you know, according to this analysis, so, it, you know, again, the fact is that it comes out from the Maram Chalava, that if you're nene, then that's the equivalent of being zoche min a hefker. So Yoni's asking, is that only because there are kulas in this hefker to begin with, albeit kulas that are just an adjustment, you know, in the realities of what you have to worry about. But then there's a certain, like, hypersensitivity to those elements, and those are exactly the ones that you're being chozer from. So maybe here, Dafka, Yoni's saying, not only should we distinguish between the Mafkir and someone else, it's an open question whether the Maram Chalava would say in other contexts where in order to get Hefker off the ground, you know, the other, you know, typical requirements, you know, no Rabbi Yossi Aglili problem, you know, B'dibor V'shelo B'lev, Lifnei Shlosha, all the objectifications and so on are necessary to get it out of your Rishus, that you won't be chozer, maybe they protect you against, you know, being zocha b'Yisra, not being a chazak. That's Trask. I don't know the answer. I think it's a really good ha'ara. I'm not sure. I think it's a great test, basically, for some of the questions that we, or the issues that we've been discussing. Okay. So that's the full range of the afar for now. You know, mostly for the afar, but there are other things. And we'll hopefully get back to them. That's with regard to Afar. Very quickly, before we move on, you know, just two other quick ha'aros that I want to talk with Shlichos for a minute or two. Okay, number one, just regarding the Rambam, this is again very connected to our next Gemara. But just to clarify, when the Rambam projects Korban Pesach and the broader Zman of Korban Pesach, you know, Chatos, you know, Natan Sa'ara from the other day in my expansion on it, you know, but even in Echos Korban Pesach and relative to Tamid, I just want to point out that the language that the Rambam uses is superfluous. I think Natan partly was telling us that. And it is mostly not found in the Bavli or the Yerushalmi. And that, of course, even if it was found in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, for the Rambam to quote, you know, the details of a limud in his code, he doesn't. But I think whenever he does it, you know, there's a reason for it. Meaning, the limud is conceptually significant. When either he goes outside, like to Yerushalmi when it's not in the Bavli, or especially to Medrash Halacha or something, or just on his own, to expand those drashos, you know, when, again, they don't affect the codification of the halakha, I think that's even more of an indication that for the Rambam, either there's a problem, or there is a shita, you know, a consistent shita. And that's really what I was trying to emphasize. So that in Perek Aleph, oh, do we have Rambam? Noach, you have Rambam with you? You can just... In Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, just to be clear, which is talking about Rabbi Yehuda, both in Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, that's what I'm trying to say, and Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, I believe the Rambam is very, we read them, the Rambam is very expansive, way beyond anything found in the Talmuds, plural, And I think that that is significant. He's repetitive, you know, he's expansive, and I don't think that it's a quote. You have it there, Noach? Which one are you reading? First of all, you have the Klomar, which is always, go ahead, Klomar. He spells it out. The Gemara in Psachim, we'll look at that Gemara in the next few days anyway, on Chav Chesamid Beis, you know, when it talks about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, quotes the Makar as Los Sishkat Al Chametz. But it doesn't say the whole Klomar, this is what it means. It doesn't explicate it the way the Rambam does. Neither does the Yerushalmi in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. This is the Rambam's expansion. Go ahead, Klomar. Again, you have the, and by the way, it's Ben Arbayim. By the way, it's Chatzi Hayom. Well, the closest Gemara, interestingly enough, again, I'm mixing our next topic because it's the same, basically. The closest Gemara to the language of the Rambam in Perek Halacha Ches is which Gemara? Hey, Amadal. Samach Kimmel we'll get to. You're right, Samach Kimmel a little bit, but that's right. That's not so much on the Isser Chametz part. It's more on the Shechitas, Karm Pesach, but we'll see what the Rambam does with that. That's Samach Kimmel. But if you were to say, like, what's the Makar of the Rambam language, Aleph Ches, the closest, I think, is Heyomid Aleph. But Heyomid Aleph isn't Rabbi Yehuda. What is Heyomid Aleph? Rava. And that is surely interesting. Again, Tosus discusses, we'll read it in, you know, hopefully in a few minutes and on Sunday, you know, why is Heyomid Aleph not a proof for Rabbi Yehuda? What's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and the discussion on Heyomid Aleph? But at the end of the day, the language of the Rambam in Aleph Ches of Rabbi Yehuda partially is taken from Rava on Heyomid Aleph. And that, again, it's important to know that and then to evaluate it. I think the patterns are unmistakable. Then again, in base Aleph, which we already talked about, the Rambam is, again, super expansive. Yeah, you have it there, Noach? You know, the one with the main one. Achazmani Suro, etc., etc., etc. Yeah, now the Rambam could have stopped there, and that's the question of the Magid Mishnah. And the, like, you know, what do you need so many? And even the language going forward, go ahead, Raya Ladabar or something. Yeah. Another Klomar, and another spelling it out, even where he doesn't even need it. This, of course, really is Rava. Right, go ahead. Exactly. So just the whole effect, I'm not adding so much, just that Aleph Ches is Rava. Rava isn't even necessarily, you know, required for base Aleph, which is what it is. And in both cases, it's very, very verbose, very expansive, seemingly repetitive about Mizmah. So all of that for the Rambam translates, especially with the others, to everything we've been saying about the Rokhram Kassel. So having said that also, then, and that's what Diyuk I made the other day, it's not only Lifnei Zman Isura, it's Lifnei Zman Isur Achilaso, which has an even stronger meaning for the Rambam. So Josh had a good Ha'ara. Josh is on the Zoom. Where is he? There he is. Wow, he's got like this amazing lattice on top of his head. Right? Like a sukkah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think it'd be Yotze. Josh?
Yes.
Josh is... Where is he? Here? Oh. Okay. Well, why am I seeing you there?
I felt like we were all
going to
try to do it
together. Oh, okay. Oh, that's so nice. Wow, I never appreciated this before.
I also, when I feel
it's like, it's on Shemaya, it's something. But I don't think we can knock out the things that put us up in there. We'll have to investigate. Okay. Findings like this incredible. Yeah, I guess it is an incredible place. Okay. Yeah, so Josh had a good aura. We mentioned earlier in the year that the, you know, the Keset Mishnah's comment that the Rambam switches the order when he counts the different lavin, you know, in the Koteret as opposed to Sefer Mitzvahs. And even some of the discrepancies, the Koteret and Yad HaChazakah, he deals with things. So it's interesting to try to figure out, you know, what it's all about. And it could be that it's sequential, etc. But there is a particular issue. Again, Josh, go ahead. Namely, the one that you mentioned to me, which is correct. And that is that the Rambam in the Koteret has what? Has Rabbi Yehuda, the Isra of Toch Zmano, before Tashbis. And also in the Chazakah, right? What is Perek Aleph Halacha Ches? And the other is Perek Beis Halacha. Sequentially, that is wrong according to the Rambam, because he says that Tashbisu is Lifnei Zman Yisra Achilasa. So it's a little strange. Right? But in light of everything we've been saying, you know, what I thought was that it's actually the Shitaso. Because why does he mention Lifnei Zman Yisra Achilasa? The whole point is, for the Rambam, that when you hit Katzos, you know, that's already close to Karis time. That's already in the orbit of Karis time. And that's the reason why it has to be lifted, Kodem, etc. And therefore, even though sequentially it's out of sync, what the Rambam's saying is, because there's an Isra Achila, Toch Kodem Zmano, which is Malkus, and the Rambam's passing against the grain because he's splitting up Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. But the reason he's doing that probably is because it's Zman Korban Pesach. You don't have that in Lacha. Everything we discussed. So the Rambam's saying, first you need to know that there's an Iser Kodem Zmano L'Achar Chatzos. Then you can understand why the mitzvah of Tashbisu is Lifnei Chatzos. It's Dafka in that order because that's the Mechayim. Okay. So that's a just something to add. And then finally, let's talk a minute before we move on about, just for one more minute, about Shlichos. We'll probably talk more about it, but, you know, just very quickly. Yoni, what's the story with the Shlichos? Shlichos Bebitol. Seems to be. Bala Iter said, there's no Gemara about it. The Gemara said, the Iter says that there's Shlichos for Bittur. Right? Why not? The way it's reported in some of the Rishonim, he says, the Gemara's Mistatek, you know, about Hafaras Habal, Habal's made for Nedarim, can he have a Shliach do it for him? And Bala Vimo, right, the special din in Shomrim, the Sugin HaShoel, that's the Gemara's Mistapek. The Shlichus work, like say, you don't have the Baal is not there, you know, the beginning of the Hafkada, but a Shliach of his is there. Does that work or not? He just says, listen, where you need Bailim, Isha, Yeferena, or Baalav, Imo, so maybe Shlichus doesn't give you Baal or Bailim. But typically, Shlichus Shaladam is Kamoso. So there's no reason that shouldn't apply to Bittol as well. And what does Iran say? He says it's Hefker. You can't make a Shliach to be Mafker. Okay? And that's the Ra'oz view and so on, etc. So is that so poshut that you can't make a Shliach to be Mafker? Not at all. And the Iran assumes that. And the Iran, by the way, says, by the way, this isn't the Iran on Dav base, this is the Ran where? And above. Right? And Shami Matze Luska Yafa. You know, again, we've been dealing with the Sugya comes up on the base, Dalarun base, and of course on Vavmud base. So we've been dealing with all three. So the Ran says, listen, the Shita Si, that I think that Bittol is Hefker, so just plug it in, there's no Shlichos for Hefker. It's not so pashut that there's no shlichus lahafkar. It also is implied by the Ran that if shlicha, if bittul was midin, whatever mashveyu ka'afar, that that would work for shlichus. I don't think that's so pashut either. So let me just step back for a minute, or Yoni, you could tell us when should shlichus work, when should shlichus not work, just in terms of paradigms. Okay, I mean the Ksos in that piece in Reishai and Gimel, when he talks about this issue, says maybe it depends whether there's a shliach l'neder or not. That's l'shita so, that hefker really is not just kineder, and certainly not in the more, I think interesting still, but much more innocuous way that I was describing, but that it's literally kineder, meaning that it's your commitment not to be rizocha, you know, that's koveya, you know, kind of a loss of reshuso, you know, which allows for hefker. So the Ksos says, if that's what it is, then plug it in. You know, can you have a shliach to make a neder or not? It should be on that issue. But of course, if you think that the kineder is not literal, you know, it's something less than that, you know, according to what I was suggesting and so on, then that becomes an open question. And certainly, you know, if it's like the Rambam or the Ramban or Rashi, it's attitudinal, it's an open question. So I'm saying in general, what would you say? You know?
When I thought about it, I thought it was hard to say that attitudinally you could make a shliach.
You could or put it on?
I thought attitudinally you could not.
Could not. Interesting.
Because once you say that you're making a shliach, right, if it's attitudinal, then you making the shliach already accomplishes that, and then, like, might as well let the shliach
do it. Oh, I think that's great. So that's exactly what I was thinking as well. Meaning, if it's an attitudinal thing rather than a transaction kind of a thing, right? So you would think, again, it doesn't have to be this way, but it's very reasonable to think this way, that, you know, you should take one of two extremes. One is, this is attitudinal, it's very personal, it's about what you think or what you said. It's a kind of davar shebegufo, you know, that's not trans, you know, there's no transitivity here. Or transmissibility here. You can't delegate. It's about how you feel, the lave, what your attitude is. So mimanashach. You can't, that's not something you can hand over for shlichus. Again, shlichus typically is a kind of jurisdictional thing. I'm not going to go into this right now extensively, but I've mentioned it in the past. You know, Reb Chaim was of the opinion that ein shlichus l'dvar avera and ein shlichus l'dvar mitzvah, you know, in Dvarim Shebegufo, is kind of two sides of the same coin. Because the real idea of shlichus is delegating. It's giving someone samchut, authority, bailos, to do something that accrues back to you. I can make him my agent if I give him some measure of power in something which I, or in something for which I am the bailos. Like the Gemara says in Ksuvis, Nafayin Dalid, famously, Tosis asks there, like, why? Like, what's the connection between those two things? Tosis says, because if you're Yeshno B'Shlichos, that means you're bailos. You can have someone, you know, act on your behalf when you are in the driver's seat, when this is something that's connected, your marriage, your divorce, your, you know, monetary transaction. You know, and you can also only impose conditions when you're a bailos. Koshiyeshen v'shlichoseshen v'tzna. That's a pshat in the Gemara there. Gemara says, maybe there shouldn't be, you know, shlich, there shouldn't be t'nai b'kiddushei bia, because there's no shlichos b'kiddushei bia. Famous Gemara. Asher, remember that? What does the Gemara answer? Iska shavayis la'adadi. Question is, what does it mean? So it's like exeris ha'kasuv that since our three methods of Kiddushin, two of which are Yeshno B'Shlichos, therefore the third one, even though it's not B'Shlichos, is Yeshno B'Tanai. Probably not. What does it mean? What's the other way of explaining this, Kashabaya? I mean, lemaisa, you can't have a shliach b'kiddushei bia. That, of course, is the ultimate davar shebegufo, right? But not because you're not bailin on the issues of the kiddushin. Just there's certain physical actions that are not, you know, transferable. When the Gemara says iska shavayis alvenu, what they mean is it's the same chalos yitziras ha'ishus. That's what's koveya tanai in Bibles. Technically, there's no shlichus, but the what's the bigger idea? The bigger idea I'm trying to establish is that shlichus is not just odar gzak gzeres hakasav. You can't have shlichus with davar shebegufo. Whether you can have shlichus or not depends on whether you are bailim and you're handing over or giving over some of your bailus, right, to an agent. If something is too physically personal or too conceptually personal, then it's not nitan, or if it's not a transaction, it's not nitan l'shlichus. On the other hand, there are certain things that don't need shlichus. It only needs gilui das, and then you don't need a shliach. And if you were to be mamana shliach, it wouldn't work because of the shlichus. It would work as an expression of your will, right? So a katan and an akum would work too. Oh, so what Yoni's saying, which I wholeheartedly subscribe to, is the following: when it comes to bittul as an attitude, right, what you might say is mimanashach. It's not a transaction. It's an attitude. So either it's a davar shebegufo, we need to hear it from you, right? It needs to be highly personal. Or if your attitude, you know, can be expressed by your efforts, then you don't really need shlichus. If I try to do bittul, right, then by definition I'm doing bittul, because it's lo nichali. I'm treating it in a certain way. So then you might say, either it doesn't work, or you don't need it. So an akum and a katan can do it too. Or not even the best shliach in the world can do it. But if it's hefker, you might think, well, that's a transaction. So just to qualify each of these very quickly, maybe on the attitudinal side, it depends. Maybe it depends, you know, how emphatic and how personal. Both the depends would be, you know, whether you don't need a shliach, or a shliach isn't going to help, or whether maybe there is room for shlichus to convey, you know, your attitude. But maybe there's a difference between, you know, the Ramban's, you know, lo nichale, and the Ran's hiskima dai teladas Torah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure in which direction either, frankly. But I think that these are the things to think about. It's not pashut at all what the Ran says, which is, if you would hold that bittul is not hefker, then bittul would work al yidei shliach. I don't think it's simple at all. And on the other side, what the Ran says, which is, if it's hefker, there's no shlichus. Again, if you think that a good chunk of hefker is siluk, and it's highly personal, and it's not really an objective transaction, it's more of a kind of, like you say, like a commitment not to be chozer, or, you know, just your misalek mimenu rather than misalek oso, and you're certainly not makne oso, then I think there's good reason to think maybe there's no shlichus. However, if it really is like das acheres makne, you know, because you're makne to reshus hefker, or to whoever will pick it up, and it's more like a real transaction, you know, the same way that, like, is it also on Shabbos, and all these other questions, then I think the likelihood is that yesh shlichus lehefker. Of course, there's a one other issue, which is a famous issue. Again, some of you are learning sixth parak of Gittin in the afternoon. So, and that, of course, is there shlichus for dibur in general? And that, of course, the famous discussion of the marit, and then it got picked up by the, you know, achronim after that, the Ksos and others. You know, because we have a principle, mili loy mimsuri l'shliach. Does that, mili loy mimsuri l'shliach, does it mean that? You know, the Marit thought that it did. That was a very big chiddush. You know, you can't have shlichus on you know, words are on them, deeper. Pashtus, that's not what the Gemara means by being with the Shlia. Okay, so these are some of the issues. Maybe I'll just speak a little more about it in terms of the poskim and Shulchan Aruch, but I want to move on, you know, to the next point. So let's move to the next point for now. So Yoni, you're doing such a good job, so if you don't mind, just start the Gemara for us, and now we can start making headway. But you'll see this is very, very connected. So let's go through the Shakavataria quickly and identify some of the important points of at issue, and then we'll break it down starting Sunday, B'ez Hashem, one at a time. Go ahead. Non hustle. Yeah. Okay, so that's a Mishnah later on. And that Mishnah is speaking about what? With the Didrabanan of Achila and Tashbis. Okay? But the question is, what's it got to do with here? So the answer is next line of the Gemara, the Kula Alma. In some girsos have Aser Minatorah. Okay? The Pashtos, either way, it sounds like the Bavli is suggesting that Bein Rabbeir, Bein Chachamim, right? The Iser after Sheishos, the Doraisa. Which Iser though? Achila? Hana? Shehiya? Strange, right? On the one hand, Rabbeir and Rabbi Yehuda, you know, are speaking about both. Right? When's this man Iser, Achila, and Hana? And when is this man, right, of Tashbisa? But what's the Gemara focused on? Is it clear? Not so clear. Not so clear. And that itself is fascinating. Especially in light of, you know, our just discussion about whether Bitul helps you also for Achila. If it helps for Lairah, does it help you, for Achila and for Hana? And in which direction does that relationship go? Right? So here, the Gemara is weighing, you know, something, Iser, Zman Iser, right? For sure they're also speaking about Tashbisa, so there's no question about that. But when they speak about Rabbi Yehuda Rameir agreeing about Iser after Chatzos, is it limited to that? And is it primarily that, or is it also that? And a little bit, this is connected, we have to see what the Rishonim do with it, to the question of Tosis and others. And that how come Rabbi Yehuda of Toch of Kodem Zmano, right, is not in the center of this Shakavatari. Okay, so either way, the Gemara thinks that there is Iser, Doraisa, Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Rabbi Meir, and therefore, what's the question? Minol. How do you know? Okay. So before we even get to that, let's just—is there any Holkin? Anybody who thinks that it's not Doraisa?
Yerushalmi.
Very fascinating. You have it? You happen to have it open? A very fascinating Yerushalmi. And it's not just here, it's in a couple of places, which makes it, you know, seem more, it's like a sheet of Yerushalmi. Certainly the Nosek Kalim on the Yerushalmi thought it was a sheet of the Yerushalmi, where there's a significant difference in the Bavli. What is the sheet of the Yerushalmi? That the Iser of Chatzos is only Drabah. Right. And what's the Raisa?
Shachas.
Does Shachas mean Shachas or the moment before?
Yeah.
Hard to know. You have the language of the Yerushalmi there?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, Drabanu.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that? So that's 1 hour after what?
1 hour.
Sha'achas, I'm sorry, lifnei. Shkiyas acham. So it doesn't sound like, you know, right before. It sounds like there's a little bit of a window there. Right? Very interesting. A little bit like what Simcha Leib brought up the other day, although not in the timing. Which was? Did you have language?
Okay.
Of the Mechilta, yeah. Eis Shivas Yamim is Marba 6 hours before. Okay, what do I think that those are? Cars? That's a fascinating
that
number.
Yeah.
You have the different?
I have one here.
Okay. Did you get chance? I didn't get a chance to look at the two. Did you? Okay. We'll try to maybe over shot as possible. You have it? Yeah. So why is that different? Again, in our Gemara, we know already. We're kind of in the sugi, we haven't fully read it, so we're going to rectify that and try to finish in the next 10 minutes. Just to go through the Shakvatai at least. But we know of Achileb, and we know of Rava, and now we have this interesting Mechilta. What's different about the Mechilta? I mean, unlike the Ushami, we'll get to Ushami in a second, the Mechilta doesn't disagree with the timing, right? But it's a different lead. Okay. So, different source. Or more than that. Simcha Leib, what do you think?
It sounds like...
Are you still Simcha Leib these days or not?
No.
No? Oh, good. Okay. You're flexible.
Sounds like you need it
only. Well, number one, it seems like you need it only. But okay, that's fine. What I'm saying is, does the Limud of Ace, 6 hours before, conceptually, sound any different than Achilek or Losishka? Correct. I agree. That's what I mean. You're working backwards, I think. The idea of the Mechilta is really, 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 it's Yontif, right? But there's a Tkufa, let's say, the Mechayev is Yontif, Lifte Yontif, in a way. As opposed to certainly Rava, and maybe even, or likely even Achilek, Rava gives the impression that it's a Korban Pesach Halacha, if it isn't just a Gilui Milsa. And Achilek also makes it sound like it's a Din Yadav. In other words, this limbo period is a concession to the status of Yadalev, or it's the fall, it's the not the spillover, because it's in the opposite direction. It's the, reverse spillover, from Yontif. Like, you just can't jump into Yontif, in Isar Chametz. It's almost like a Hakdam or a Hachana, or a Hechsher. Not the Mechayev of Pesach, not the Mechayev of Yom Yadalid, right? But, the necessary prelude, if you will, to Tezvah. You agree? So I think you have the similar phenomenon, or maybe, this is the question. I think there are two ways to understand Rav Meir in the Yerushalmi. Right? Because at least the Mechilta is, the timing is the same. It's just that this is a preliminary, where the others are, it's a Yadav. Correct? But for Rav Meir, it's Sha'achas, that certainly sounds like one of two things. Either, the preview, but instead of being half a day or 6 hours, right? It's an hour before Shkia, but it's certainly Likrat, right? It's a, you can't just jump into, but why can't you? It's almost like an extra Tosefes. You know, it's like, it reminds me a little like Yom Kippur, you know, Kala Ukhil, you know, Vichi, Kil Vasan Basiri, and there you have like a special din of Tosefes, you know. So, for other reasons, of course. Meaning, you need to prepare for this, or you need to transition into it, and therefore, it, Yom Tezvav, requires that earlier hour. That's one way to explain it. The other way to explain it would be what? Well, it's not exactly that, but it's something else that we're familiar with. Namely, what else could it be? And it might be still Sha'achas, or maybe it's more of a Melitz. I don't care about it. Let's assume somebody says Sha'achas Kodem Le Shkia. It sounds like they really mean an hour to me. Okay, but instead of being, oh, this is the, like there's a period of Tashbisu, an hour before. What else might it mean, Yoni? Say again?
Maybe the actual is coming on Pesach and not in Tashbisu, or maybe, right? But the idea that the Tashbisu or whatever it is or exists in the Yudah doesn't exist in that time frame.
I mean, it's not, if I understand it correctly, not that you have to do it in that hour, like there's an hour set aside for Tashbisu. It's the din that we encountered in the Ramban, namely, Shehei Simcha? Mushmas v'yomei, exactly. Which, by the way, is a language also, again, it comes from, as far as I know, the first person to say it, to articulate it, is the Ramban. You know, again, it's implicit in the Rambam, for sure. And the Magen Mishnah, when he explains the Rambam, doesn't quote the Ramban, but he uses the same language. Maybe that's a pshat in Rav Meir, in the Yerushalmi. Namely, that it's not that, oh, there's a 1 hour period. What I'm saying is there are three ways to look at it. One way is to say that the hour for a mayor is the 6 hours, you know, for Rabbi Yehuda. Right? And that, you know, but just the timing is different. Because, you know, it says Ace, and it's not, you know, Chatzi, and it's not Korban Pesach. So whatever, I don't know if it's a Mesorah, or that's like a minimum time, whatever it is. You know, it's a din of the Yom Yodalin. The last hour of Yom Yodalin, you know, is already, you could say it, I can't prove that it's not the case. That's a possibility. And then, you know, mid the Rabbi Yehuda and so on, you know, we'll say for this Doraisa of Rabbi Meir, you know, whatever the issues are that come up, maybe. Right, in terms of, again, same kind of things. You know, it's a shehiya, achila, you know, hana, you know, all, you know, mashahu, you know, etc. Or no, it seems to me much more, and that's what I meant by, and same thing with Simcha's, you know, mechilta. You can say, oh, different makar. He uses the other ones up, he doesn't think they're compelling. Same din. But to me, once you're saying, not, oh, Korban Pesach, it's a milestone, or Achilik, you know, on some level, Yom Yedalid, you know, in its own right is Mechana. You know, maybe the Kiddush is just as much, you know, what we don't do, you know, till Chatzon, till 12, as what we do impose after. Or it's a kind of a dialectic between the two, you know. Whereas the Ace is more like, it's Yom Tov going backwards, you know. You're tagging on, you know, like, almost like, as I say, like a Tosefes, but a bigger one. So then you come through up there, it certainly sounds even more like that. But what I'm saying is, still you could say, there's a tkufa of hachana, or hechsher, for Tashbisu. It's not 6 hours. It's kodem zman, isuro, you know, but as a time frame. Or you could go further and say, it's not even that, it's the din of Kodem Zman Isura. And the din of Kodem Zman Isura means it has to be mushbeis. You have an hour to make sure that it's mushbeis beyond Tetzvah. So it isn't even, l'maisa, it kicks back an hour. But it's not a tkufa, even a bachana, it's a tkufa of making sure of the effect. Yeah. Say that again? Yeah. Is Tesvav. Right. So I think that proves at minimum that it's not a din in your dollar, it's not an hour in your dollar.
I think even through the more
you think so? Right, but I'm still saying the Yudalid, even if it's a preview, it's again, it's not a Yudalid. As long as it's not a Yudalid thing, I'm not sure. But I hear it. I hear what you're saying. If you look at the Nosa Kelim on the Yerushalmi, like the Pnei Moshe, the Karbon Eida, Mar Panim, the Ridvaz, I think they all interpret that it's an hour to do Tashbisa. Somebody I saw, I'm not trying to remember who I saw, maybe Maurice Cerulio, somebody I saw uses the language of the Ramban. Oh, it should be mushbeis at the time. I'll have to try to find out who said it. Doesn't really matter. I mean, it's possible. By the way, I think these are two ways to interpret the continuation of the Yerushalmi too. The Yerushalmi goes on to say two other interesting things. Number one, that for Rabbi Yehuda, keep going if you don't mind, Yoni? Yeah, even the language, chetzer l'chametz, chetzer l'matzah, of course, is fascinating. This idea that, matzah is what, what's osir l'chametz. Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, right. Go ahead. Say again? Oh. What's the question? What's the answer? The question is, right, Ach, according to this view, is being used not as a miyud but as a rivui. And we know that Rav Meir, also like everybody else in other places in Shas, thinks that Ach is a miyut. So that, what's that line again, a little louder on the Yerushalmi? Miatosh Eina B'chametz. What does that word, what do those words mean? And if you look at some of the Achronim, they have these better Yerushalmis now, so they have things in the back. They're asking kashas from... I just saw it the other day. I was just looking at from the Ramban in Parshas Kisisa, about what Ach Miut can mean and whether it fits into this line of the Yerushalmi. Basically, what does that line mean in the Yerushalmi? So again, I think if you look at the Mefarshim, they have different ways of saying it. Some are saying, well, the Iser of Chametz, is limited. That's the Miut. As opposed to what you're not allowed to eat or do is limited. That's why they ask this question from the Ramban in Kisisa. It seems like the Ramban there says pretty clearly, that typically an ach means a limit on the gavra, not a limit on the iser. Okay? So how are they going to... Okay, so maybe they're not according to the Ramban. We'd always like them to be according to the Ramban. So, but what's really going on here? I think... Maybe that the different interpretations also of what that line means have to do exactly what we're talking about. Right? In other words, is the default, what we're really saying is, there's, you have to make sure, I guess I have these three possibilities and you have to plug them in. Meaning, this is the Iser Chametz, Biyom Yadalit, right? Or this is, the Hakana, to, but an act of achana for Yom Tezvav, or this is, you know, just the only way that you can ensure, you know, that there's no chametz by the time you reach the Tezvav. Okay? So if you look at them in different portion, I think it fits in, better or worse, that way. Yerushalmi then goes on to say something else, not related to what we're doing right now, but related to the other things that we've been doing and what we were also talking about previously. Go ahead, about Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, that part for sure, okay.
Yeah.
Right, meaning, what do they do with the Pasuk Lo Tochal Olav Chametz? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And so Rabbi Yehuda says that refers to the Hakrava, which means Chatzos Yedav. And Rabbi Meir says it refers to the Achila Ba'erev. Okay, keep going. Oh, that's what I want. Fascinating. Rabbi Yehuda has an asay and a lo sasay. Go ahead. Yeah. He has an asay and a lav for both achila and biur kodem zman. Correct?
Yeah.
So number one, that would highlight, again, this is one of the questions we talked about before, to what extent is Erev, right, you know, a din b'fnei atzmo, or, you know, the onset, the beginning of dinei chametz, or chag ha-matzos, or Pesach as the Erev chag ha-matzos, which is kind of an in-between, kind of a dialectical one that I like, you know. It's not chag ha-matzos, but it's Pesach. But it's not just Pesach, which happens to be prior to chag ha-matzos. It's Pesach, which al pidin is the right way, you know, to enter into chag ha-matzos. So it's both. So it's fascinating. The more, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda, especially the Rabbi Yehuda of, you know, kodem zmano malchus, you know, it's, again, like we said before, they're only arguing about the malchus, but really he agrees with Rabbi Shimon that it's different chalos, different mechayev, or the other way. They're only arguing about the malchus, but Rabbi Shimon agrees with him, you know, that it really begins earlier in some respect, just not as intensely. Or this gufa is part of their argument. Here, we're being told, right, that, you know, forget about Toksman or malchus for a moment, that both with regard to Tashvisu, or Biur, and with regard to Achila, there's an assay and a lav. First of all, that's fascinating. What's the lav of Shehiya? What's the lav equivalent of Tashbisu? Bal Yirah, 100%. Why is that significant? I mean, it's significant. Is that the makor for the Rambam? So if you look at the Nosei Kalim and the Yerushalmi, like the Ridvaz has a whole discussion of it. A lot of them have a discussion of it. They say, how come the Ravid attacks the Rambam? It's a Yerushalmi. So their answer typically is, it is a Yerushalmi, but this whole Yerushalmi is against our whole Bavli. You know, this is Rabbeinu and Rabbi Yehuda, one's Rabbanan, one's Daraisa. A. B. In Achanami, in the Yerushalmi, in a bunch of places, it's clear that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is, you know, Bal Yirah after Chatzos. But that's not the view of the Bavli. But it might have been the view of the Rambam. Right? He may have felt that even in the Bavli that's the case, based on the Yerushalmi. And of course, Lashitaso, about the centrality of Korban Pesach, you know, and everything else. Okay. Let's go back to the Bavli now. Bavli doesn't hold this way. They hold that even according to Rabbi Meir, it's a Daraisa. Okay, but what's the basis? Let's just take 2 more minutes just to get through, and then we'll break it down someday. Go ahead. Minolan. Yeah. So here, there's an interesting, just it could be 2 more minutes. Rashi is very interesting here. Tosus disagrees. What's that all about? You see it? What's Rashi?
Rashi says that it can't be, if you have to destroy it, it has to be there's time mismanagement.
It has to be a time, if there has to be a Zman Heter because of the clash. And what's also say? Yeah, that's how we correct. But what is he? Why does he think Rashi's shot is wrong? Exactly. So this is again Rashi and Tosis Lashitasam, namely that Rashi thinks that if you're going to have a split day, right, then the biur, the hashbasa, has to be kodem zman isura. And Tosis is saying, what are you talking about? It's biur chametz, einir lari, hatashbisu avarahi. That, of course, is Tosafot Lashitaso on top of the page and all over the place with the dosar and everything else, correct? This is very interesting. However, what's also interesting is the other Rashi, the next Rashi. So, did you see that? Okay, we'll get to it in a second. First, the Yoni, just read the Gemara. So, what's the Makar? Achmi Amarishon. So, Rashi, again, Tosafot has a different read in terms of what that means. But for Rashi, it means if you're going to have a split day, then it has to be Kodim Zman Yisuro, Lishitaso. Tosis disagrees, Lishitasam, right? The Eima L'Rab, so the Gemara says, the Eima L'Rabos. So this is very fascinating. The Gemara thought that you could be Mechalik between the night and the day. How far did they go with that? First of all, it's a strange idea. Well, it's not so strange. I mean, in certain mitzvahs, of course. I mean, the mitzvah of sukkah is only in the day. The mitzvah of lulav is only in the day. I'm sorry, not sukkah. The mitzvah of lulav is only in the day. The mitzvah of shofar is only in the day. Right? Okay. But it's hard to say that about, you know, kagamatzos. Number one, because Berav Tochlamatzos, which is what the Gemara is going to say in a minute. And the whole Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim and the whole, you know, historical commemoration, you know, is, you know, Bavur Zeh, right? A little bit strange. But that the Isur Chametz, moreover, what did the Gemara really mean when it says, Eima L'Rabos Leile Chamishas Al Bir? Do they really mean that you have all night till morning? How did Rashi read it? So Yamtin ad Boker, Hochi Kamar. We're being told that so what you would have had all night. Interesting. How else could you read the Gemara? But we'll see. But this is a very fascinating Havavi. What's the implication in Rashi also? You can be Vidayak. Lo yamtin ad haboker. Ach beknisas yom rishon. Does he mean even at night? Does Rashi think you can do tashbisu till the morning? Or since the pasuk only means the morning, therefore it's okay to do tashbisu lachar zman isura at night? Now, do you have the night, you know, not because there's no din of chametz at night, but because that's this man, that the mat, in other words, not because there's no Yisr chametz. Is everybody with me? There are two ways you can explain this. One is to say the Gemara's Havamina is that the din of chametz, the shem chametz, the Yisr chametz, only begins in the morning. Okay? So then, of course, you can do it, you can do tashbisu at night. Because it's Lagamri Kodem Zman Yisura. Right? And there's no urgency necessarily to do it earlier either, frankly. Or, the idea of the Kapamina was not that at night there's no Shem Chametz or, you know, it's not like, you know, Lifnei Zman Yisura completely. It's just that if you hold Achilek or Yom Yudalid in the middle of Yom Yudalid, so then it has to be Kodim Zman Yisura. If you held that the Pasuk meant the morning, so what we'd be saying is, as long as you're doing Tashbisu, it's already Tashbisu time at night. Right? But you can do it in a quasi-zone where there is chametz. In other words, the din would be almost equivalent to what Tosus thinks, but with less pressure, you know. Even if it's not chozer achav levaro, you have this tkufa to do it. Not because it's nothing until the morning, but because this is the zone of tashbisa. But that's very fascinating, then, that Rashi would acknowledge, that's what it sounds like to me, again, 100% sure, Rashi would acknowledge that there can be a biur kind of la'achar zman yisura? Well, maybe because you don't violate. Or maybe also because there's a difference if you're splitting a day in two, or, you know, if it's already, you know, if you're making the tashbisu on Yom Tov. Yeah. Say that again? There's no tash, there would be certainly no Bayirah until the morning. Oh, you think that's what it means? No, but then why is it L'Ramos Leil Chamishasar? Because during the day, I don't see that. I mean, every Yamim as opposed to every Leilas? I mean, like Lulav and Shofar? I don't think so. No, the Hekesh is, the Gemara is Doka because by Erev Tocha Matzos is the first night. Right? Okay, we'll get back to this anyway, but these are the two. Okay, we're going to have to stop. So, well, just finish this line and we'll get back to it. Go ahead. Da iskash. Yeah, okay. So we'll stop here for a minute, but of course this is a fascinating Gemara too. It goes back on our list, or, you know, goes on our list. Namely, the Gemara had a Havamina, or the Gemara thought that you need matzah. The chi of matzah is koveya, the Isar Chametz, on the night of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's just a Gili Milsa because of the Hekesh? Or that's because chametz is an Isur Zman. There's nothing really wrong with chametz. The problem is, it's an anti-matzah. You know? Like the chatzi. Chatzi l'chametz, chatzi l'matzah. So matzah is the koveya of the b'chayim. Right? Like we discussed with Nashim. And like we'll see with some other examples as well. To what extent is that really like, you know, the Shivas Yamin? If it isn't the kiyum. And even if it is a kiyum, why isn't it a chiyum? Okay, so we'll pick up with these themes, and then we'll examine them according to the various Rishonim, Mirza Shev, as we continue on Sunday.